kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Well, I'd like to share something of the deeper life. And I was sharing a message today on Instagram, and it sort of led me from there to what I want to share with this evening. And we're going to call this title, Is the Self-Life Still a Hindrance? Is the Self-Life Still a Hindrance? And with that title, if it is still a hindrance, then we have to go back to the cross, because we know from our years of teaching that the cross deals with the self-life. And we know that the teaching of the deeper life is that dying to the self-life. And that is really what we do each day. It is each day dying to the self. That's what we should be seeing characteristic in our lives and our walk. And it's not only, as we know, that dying to the self-life, but it's the cross. It's accepting that cross that we take up daily and follow the Lord. As we know that we are aware of Galatians 2:20, that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And that is our confession. That is our confession of faith of the cross and how we walk. But we are aware that Jesus also presented the cross to those that followed him daily. And we'll take it up where he presents this, and we know this very well, in Matthew 16 and verses 24-25 of Matthew 16, 24-25. And he says here where we're to take up our cross and follow him. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So, in order to find the life of Christ and to walk in fellowship and covenant with him, we have to be willing to lose. And to lose what? Well, he tells us in verse 24, which we know very well. It is the denying oneself, the denial of self. And that is different, of course, in where many are sacrificing and they're cutting on various things in their lives so that they can be more spiritual and so on. It's not denying oneself, it's the denial of self. And that, as we know, is a big difference. It's a willingness to give up that selfish life within us so that we are free to be able to do the will of God. And he shows us the only way to do the will of God is the cross. The cross is the only thing that will do it. We try in our own human efforts. We try to maybe pray more or read more. We try all these various things only to find that so little happens, and he goes right to the problem. It is yourself, it is us. And only the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, can deal with that. And that is why he asks us, as we know, to take it up daily and follow him. And we have to go, as we've been teaching you over the years, into our garden at Gethsemane, our spiritual place, where we settle this with God. The same as Jesus, literally, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane there to settle the plan of redemption that God was going to work through his Son, Jesus Christ, to go to the cross. And so it's the same with us spiritually. We have to settle it so that God works the cross in our lives spiritually, so that it is this daily dying to the self-life, to the selfish life that is in us. That is the hindrance. That is our worst enemy. We know that our self is our worst enemy. And of course, we have an enemy as well as Satan. And he knows how to play on that. He's not stupid. But we thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, who's able to deal with that self-life. The same as the power of the Spirit took Christ to the cross, work that physical death for our redemption, and the power of God that led him to the cross was the same power that raised him from the dead into resurrection. And it is the same work, it is the same principle, that as he works death, so he works resurrection. And it takes the power of God in which to work this, because we can't do it. We know, as we make ourselves available, we settle this, then the Holy Spirit, he will come and he will start to work that death to the self life. In other words, you don't have to crucify yourself. You don't actually have to do anything. It is simply yielding over to the Spirit and allowing him to work that within you and me. And that's what he does. It's the resistance that the problems come. But we'll look at that later on. You see, each day, in many ways, is a decision. It's a decision, isn't it, whether it is God's will or my will. And if you are still battling with that one, if you're still having to seek God for his will to be done, there is something possibly that's going wrong. The cross isn't actually doing its work as it should. And maybe you've got to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane and you've got to settle it. Because the grace is there when the cross is settled. When you're taking it up daily, the grace of God is sufficient for the day that you meet and whatever it entails, you see. And we have to decide whether we want to nourish that self-life within us, or whether we're going to allow the Spirit to work that spiritual death so that we die daily, that the life of Christ may be seen in and through us. Again, we have to settle. We have to decide on these things. Because if you're going to nourish the self-life after you have said you will take up your cross daily and follow him, it's going to produce nothing but agony. and suffering, just like the cross did in those days when they were nailed to the cross, and it took many hours, sometimes a day or so, of agony, suffering. And we know that many times they finished them off. Well, take that over into the spiritual. That can happen to us if we're not yielding over to the Spirit and allowing the Spirit to do that work through us. It's going to produce an agony, a suffering. And what is that? How is that seen? Well, so much of it, sadly, is seen in the house of God. Mental issues, mental anguish, or even depression, anxieties and frustrations. Seldom ever tasting that sweetness of walking in victory. While you find ministers and pastors are constantly challenging that one, constantly dealing with it and speaking about this. Why? Because so little of the cross is ever taught in Christendom. That is the true biblical teaching. And we know this because if the cross is taught, you empty a lot of your churches. Because many don't want this teaching of the deeper life. And yet the Lord shows that is the way we enter into the kingdom of God. And this is why he said, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way, and most go that way. Because the broad way doesn't address the cross. And there is the problem. And that is why you've got such weakness, frustration and anxieties and sickness going on, when it should be the opposite in the house of God. See, many don't want to accept the fact that I die to self. Now, let's remind ourselves again, we call this the kenosis experience, the dying of the self-life, the giving up of the self-life, just like Jesus revealed in Philippians 2:5. He emptied himself and took on human form. And he says, let this mind be in you also. And there we see this word kenosis experience. It's a surrender. It's a desire to give up the self-life. But too often we want to keep the self-life alive. And how do we know we want to still keep the self-life alive? Because we're still planning our lives, our careers, our futures. We're still allowing our families to dictate and control us. We're still reliant on material security. We still want that recognition. Your rights, your privileges, and so on. Instead of humbling yourself as a servant to serve. And whether you are recognized or not, whether you are thanked or not, is immaterial, because you do it all unto the Lord. Everything I do, the moment I wake in the morning and I meet that day, is everything unto him and him alone. He is the one I serve. And as a result of that, if you settle that, then he that is in you will begin to reach out through you, touching this world. But we hinder that, don't we? You see, we can talk about the deeper life, we can talk about the cross, but the power isn't working. And the only way is that you follow his steps. You follow him. And where do you follow him? He's told us right here in Matthew 16, 24, 25. If you want to be my disciple, take up your cross and follow me. That is where I'm going. And he did. And he says, that is where you are going. And he's going to work that now spiritually in your life and my life, if we let him. And so we realize that the self-life has to be dealt with. That is the biggest hindrance. And we see so much now, don't we, of people today utterly consumed in themselves, trapped in themselves. And this is why we have the mental issues today. This is why we're seeing now these reprobate minds that are bordering on insanity, minds and hearts that are pagan. And I am convinced also with this that the iPhone, these cell phones, they feed all of this. People are held by them. People are making their lives through these phones. They're creating their own world. In other words, you become your own God or your self-avatar. That is what's happening. It's complete idolatry that we're seeing now. They are not in a real world anymore. And their lives are held by them, particularly the young people. They cannot keep their eyes out of their phone. They are living a different life. It's not real. We were created by God in which to enjoy the world that he made us and to glorify him. That is robbing this generation through these iPhones of exactly that. How subtle the enemy is, and we, all of us as well, have to be on our guard against them. As I say so often, is it controlling you or are you controlling it? That is the question. Because we're using technology today, and praise God that we're able to share and have fellowship, and this word can go to the four corners of the earth. But boy, it comes with a great, great caution. This is the enemy's tool now. And so you see, God is ever working with us, warning us, showing us the pitfalls that can feed the self-life, the self-ego. And we have to yield to the Spirit. We daily take up our cross, and he's going to lead and guide us by his Spirit so that we experience what it says in Romans 8, to walk in the Spirit, because they are the sons of God. Walking in the Spirit means you're maturing, you are growing spiritually. And that's absolutely vital, important, that is spiritually healthy for the believer. And the way it's done is that we too follow his footsteps and we follow the way of the cross. We know very, very well, don't we, in the book of James, which we read often, in James chapter 1 and verses 2 to 4. And he says here, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So there we are. You cannot really count it all joy when you go through the various trials and testings of our walk unless the cross is working and you're yielding over to the Spirit. Because he says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, your faith, your belief in the promises of God's word is producing the fruit. And Jesus said, by the fruit you will know them. Not by what they say, not even how often they listen to the word, or whatever it would be. No, no, it's those who are living their faith and acting their faith. And of course, everything is appropriated by faith, even our belief in the cross, that we too are to take up daily and follow him. We need faith to believe for that. And so this matures our faith and it prepares us what? For more. For those intense spiritual battles and warfare, which we're entering into more and more. Have you noticed over the last few years how the Holy Spirit's taking us into much more intense spiritual warfare? How does that come? Well, he says it here. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. For what? For more intense spiritual warfare and battles. And that certainly has increased as we're getting nearer to the coming of the Lord. It means that you're maturing when in the delays of faith, when you're confessing and holding on by faith, whether it's for your healing or the salvation of your loved ones, or whatever it would be, or answers to prayer. This is also what he's speaking about here, or these physical attacks, or just these personal weaknesses that we go through. Some days you just don't feel as good as you should do. But I still walk by faith. I still yield to the Spirit, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Sometimes we feel impatient. How much longer with all of this? When am I going to see some of these manifestations of what I'm believing, confessing and holding on for? Well, he's still working patience within us, just what James spoke about here. Or how about he's still working on intemperance? What is that? Where we have anger, we get upset so easily, irritated. Or even those that still suffer with violent attacks, aggression. Again, he's working the cross so that we yield over to these impulses, these things that try to attack us and oppress us. The cross is powerful to be able to deal with it. You've got to believe. And yield, and don't resist. And before you know where you are, the cross has done its work. And you're experiencing resurrection, the power of God, the blessing, triumphing over our weaknesses. That's how the Apostle Paul was able to go and minister like he did. Nobody went through what he went through. And you know what he went through. He counted it all joy because the cross was working in his life. The resurrection power was working in his life. They even stoned him and left him for dead. But the power of the resurrection was working in him that raised him up. And it's the same with us, brothers and sisters. I know crucifixion, for those that went on the cross, it was long and extensive death. And sometimes for us, it does take a while for death to work to the self-life, to areas of where we're battling still. But stay with it. Keep coming. Keep listening, because faith comes by hearing the word of God. And you will find the cross has done its work. Hallelujah. You see, it's working God's will into our lives. Sometimes we have to suffer on behalf of others. Sometimes we have to suffer and go through trial for the sake of the gospel and for Christ. They're also sufferings as well. What does it say in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. For in you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. So sometimes we suffer for his sake. We just suffer because we are a believer in Christ. Whether they ridicule us, or they mock us, or they lie, or they cheat us, or whatever it would be, it's because of who is in you. That's what they're coming against. And we die to that. We yield. We don't retaliate. That's why he says, if they strike you on one side of the face, turn the other. Bless your enemies. Don't do harm to them. Don't have revenge in your heart or bitterness. Now, only the cross can do that. Only the love of God placed in your heart can reach out to the unlovable, to those that persecute us, despise us, and ill-treat us. That takes the power of God's love. Your love, my love, is inadequate. And it can only come through the cross as you yield over to the cross and allow it to do its work. Will God empower what? Himself. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's him taking over in our weaknesses. The Father, the power of the Father, the Spirit of God took over in Christ's weakness when he finally gave up his spirit unto his Father. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Then what took over? Resurrection, the power of God came in. But it had to take death first in his flesh in order for that to be done. Couldn't be done otherwise. And it's the same principle, but it's spiritually done with us. And God will be faithful. His power will come in that situation. He will lift you up at that time. He will raise you up in glory. You will overcome that besetting sin. You will rise up, because he says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed and delivered. Because that is the power of God taking over. But it's in weakness. The Apostle Paul saw that his ministry, his preaching, his apostleship lied in his weakness. And only the cross you take up daily will reveal that you are weak. How do you know you're weak? You don't know until the cross exposes it. We can think we are weak. We can confess we are weak, but we can deceive ourselves. It is only the cross that will reveal you are weak. It doesn't lie in you and me. It can only be the power of the Spirit of God in my weakness, taking me that extra step, taking me further, taking me beyond myself, my limitations, all the weaknesses. That is what God wants to do. This is what the cross does. And it comes by simply yielding and stop resisting. And where we've still got ungodly affections, let him do that work in delivering us. Where we're still trusting too much in the arm of the flesh, let him do that work through the cross, delivering you. Because he will. He's promised. He has said, if you are willing to take up your cross and follow me, just like he did, then the Spirit of God, because you are baptized in the Spirit, will do that work. Expect him to do that work. You don't have to crucify yourself. You don't have to try at this. The Spirit will do it. Trust me. The same as Jesus didn't have to try and put the nails in his hands and his feet. The Roman soldiers did it. And so over in the Spirit, the Spirit has come, empowering you to work so that you decrease, that he increases in you and I. We hinder him when we fight against him, when we resist this. So as the side title says, as I finish with this, is the self-life still a hindrance? And only you can honestly answer that one, or go before God. Maybe you've got to go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, somewhere you missed it, or whatever. But that is the way we are to walk if we're to make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's not impossible, else Jesus would not have said it. Our problem is the yielding, and we know we call it the absence of resistance. In other words, don't resist him. Don't fight against him. Let your will be his will. And that's why, as I close, when we speak in tongues, when we're praying in tongues in the Spirit, that is a perfect illustration of two wills coming in agreement and perfect harmony. And that is why it is so powerful when you pray in the Spirit in tongues, because you are praying the perfect will of God that is bypassing the mind, the intellect. It is your spirit praying in oneness with God. There is a clear illustration. Now he says, put that over with your will and yield it over to mine, and you will find that my grace is sufficient, and you will start to experience the power of the Spirit of God. I think on one side of that, that is exciting. That tells me that's the answer to much of my problems. It's the key, it's the answer to this, to the deeper life. And it is foolish to fight against God, to resist him, because God will win. He's all powerful. and we're stupid and silly to resist him and fight against him when he's asked us to yield over to him and trust him. And not only that, but look at all these promises that he's given us as well to bless us, yes, in this life. So brothers and sisters, we cannot go wrong with this. And as I say, as I close with this, after death comes resurrection. He never leaves us in the state of death. He never left his son in that state, but he raised him up into glory, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And likewise with us, he raises us up in the power of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit to triumph and to overcome. And that's why we're called overcomers. We overcome the things in this life. We overcome the spirit of this age and all those things that try to hinder us and stop us and hold us back. We overcome because our overcomer, Jesus, has gone before and prepared the way. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for encouraging us. Thank you for reminding us, Lord, how we walk each day as your disciples. Lord, we can never get enough of this. And we thank you for your mercy, your love, your grace, your patience, your long-suffering with us, Lord. Forgive us that we can be so slow of learning. But your love never gives up. And we thank you for that. And so, Lord, I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep each one of us till we assemble again. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Jesus.